Thanks for joining us for another Lancaster Baptist podcast. We believe the Word of God is the infallible, eternal truth that is needed in this generation. Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season." It's my prayer that the doctrinal encouragement of today's message will be a great blessing in your life. Thanks again for taking time to join with us. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Psalm 95. The music has blessed our hearts tonight, and now we want to turn to the Word of God. Gratitude within our own hearts as we approach this special Thanksgiving week. Psalm 95 for our scripture reading tonight, and let's stand together as we open up the Word of God. Welcome to Lancaster Baptist Church. If you're a first-time guest, maybe an out-of-town relative or friend, we welcome you tonight to Lancaster Baptist, and we're so thankful that God is near and thankful for this time to draw nearer to Him. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. And I hope that's why you're here tonight. Psalm 95, we're going to read beginning in verse number 1 and down through the end of the psalm as we open our Bibles and learn tonight how to cultivate a heart of gratitude. The key to having a right spirit in our lives is to have a gratitude attitude in our hearts. And whenever someone is lacking in gratitude, their spirit will show it. And tonight, if we want to be a people with a right spirit, we must be a people with a grateful heart. And so we're going to learn tonight about cultivating a gratitude attitude. Psalm 95 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are His people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 long years was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter in to thy rest." Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you tonight. Even as the psalmist of old, we're aware that every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. And Lord, tonight we do come to cultivate our hearts with a more grateful spirit. We're grateful tonight for our salvation. We're grateful tonight for America, for this American holiday with its roots in the Bible, that we would give thanks, Lord, and we pity the atheist who has no one to give thanks to. We're thankful tonight that we have a God worthy of our thanks and our praise. And tonight, Lord, we pray that you would continue to work within us and through us, and may this week be a week when we're drawing closer to you, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Perhaps you heard about the family that went out for lunch, and as they went out for lunch, they ordered up some dessert at the end of the meal, and as they had the dessert, the waitress brought some pie and ice cream, and she began to distribute that to the children at the table, and the little boy at the table said, "Thank you, ma'am," and the lady looked at him, and she said, "Oh, I love to hear thank you like that." The little boy said, "Give me another scoop, you might hear it again." And a lot of us are good at giving thanks when we know it's kind of priming the pump, you know, when we know it's the right thing to do in the sense of making someone else do something that we want done. But you know, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's convicting to me that I'm not thankful more often and just throughout every moment of every day. Sometimes we allow circumstances to get us thinking improperly or negatively. Sometimes we forget that we are of all nations most blessed. We are of all people as Christians most blessed. And I wonder why it is that we tend to forget the many blessings of God. I think there may be two or three reasons. I placed them in your notes this evening. I think one of the reasons we forget to thank God is because of the sin of comparison. We begin to compare our situation to someone else's situation. And of course, we always tend to compare our situation to that person who's not having a trial, to that person who hasn't been laid off, to that person who hasn't seemed to have any trials at that point in their life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not, what's the next word say? Are not what? Friend, when we compare ourselves with someone that we think isn't having as many trials or has more possessions or whatever, we are not wise to get involved in that activity. The fact of the matter is that through the course of life, everyone will have challenges and trials along the way. And when we compare ourselves during our difficulty to someone who's not in their time of difficulty, we are not wise. We are simply hurting ourselves and setting ourselves up for an ungrateful spirit. Then there's another reason. I think that is the reason of expectation. I think we live in a society that instead of being a society filled with gratitude, we live in a society with the handout. We live in a society that seems to think we all deserve something better than we have right now. And it's not just the people in the inner cities that want welfare. It's the Baptists in the suburban churches that are not content either. The problem with human nature tonight is the spirit that we all deserve something more than we have, the spirit of expectation. How many of you have come to the place biblically to understand that all we really deserve is hell forever, but that by the grace of God, we've been saved, and everything else on top of that is an extra blessing? Someone said the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. And when we come to that place of realizing that every day is simply a blessing from God, and not expecting that everything would be perfect in every day, then we begin to cultivate a gratitude attitude. I think a third reason that we struggle with thanksgiving is because we many times have a discontented spirit or a spirit of discontentment. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, sometimes we say this in respect to a middle-aged man. We'll say that a man 40, 45, 55 comes to a place of a midlife crisis. No longer does the pastor want a pastor. He wants to go out and tell someone else how to pastor. No longer does the journeyman want to be a journeyman. He wants to go out and train journeymen. No longer does this man want to be content with his wife. All the illustrations we could give tonight about so-called midlife crisis. But again, while we could not say that this sin of expectation is limited to the inner city welfare recipient, this matter of discontented spirit is not limited to a middle-aged man. The matter of discontented spirit is something that every single person struggles with. We are in a materialistic society. We are in a society that says, if I could have just this one more thing or just this one more relationship, then I would be so very happy. But the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. And again, we'll not be content until we have a spirit of gratitude. And then I think the fourth reason that we sometimes struggle for just being thankful is simply the fact that we get so busy. I mean, throughout the course of our day, I think many times as we have schedules and we have athletics for the children and we have academics for the children, we have church activities, we have business things that we're doing, we're by nature pushing on for that next event on the calendar, that next goal that we want to accomplish. And sometimes God just did something awesome in our life, but we are so pressed to move on, we don't even take time to meditate on how good God has been. Someone said years ago a little phrase to me, and it has helped me. The phrase is, thankfulness is thankfulness. Would you say that with me? Thankfulness is thankfulness. Sometimes we're not thankful because we don't take time to think about all that God has done for us. I hope you'll take time to think about it this week. Because I really believe this, no matter how challenging the circumstances of your life, if you'll take time to think, you're going to find yourself taking time to thank. Because God has been good in our lives. He has been good to us. Tonight, I want to share a few quick thoughts with you on how to get back to that gratitude attitude, how to cultivate this spirit within our lives, within the lives of our children. Notice, if you would, tonight in Psalm 95, the announcement to God's people. The Bible says in verse 1, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." The announcement that we see here in the Scripture, first of all, is to rejoice in our salvation. To rejoice in salvation. Psalm 95 and verse 1, "Sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." You know, there ought not to be anybody at work this week with more of a gratitude attitude than saved people. People who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. "Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And we'll see in just a moment that this holiday we call Thanksgiving is rooted in our American culture. And our American culture historically was rooted in the Scriptures. And it is from the Scriptures that we are taught to give thanks. And tonight, what we have to give thanks for, first and foremost, is our salvation through Jesus Christ. You know, a bad moment for an atheist is when he feels thankful but doesn't have anyone to thank. But we have someone to thank tonight. And His name is Jesus Christ. And we thank Him for what He has done. We thank Him for His salvation. We thank Him for His presence. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. And then notice, secondly, we rejoice in God's strength. Not only do we rejoice in the salvation of our God, but we rejoice in the strength of our God. Notice His strength in verse number 3. "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Notice He is sovereign. Notice that He is the Lord and King that is above all. Revelation 19:16 says, "And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Listen, if you're going to be a servant, you might as well be a servant to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And tonight we rejoice in His sovereignty and in His strength. How we are blessed tonight to worship the supreme ruler of this universe. He is sovereign. Notice He is the sustainer of this world. The Bible says in verse number 4, "In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also." God is the sustainer of this world. He is holding this world up by His right hand. And we thank God that He has that power and strength tonight. There are so many challenges this world faces, and we pray for our friends in South Korea who have been attacked by an aggressor in the north, and we hope that our country is truly an ally to them at such a difficult time. But the fact of the matter is that in the midst of all of the calamities of this world, we have a God that is sovereign in the affairs of men. And we have a God that has strength over the affairs of wicked men. And the Bible says in Colossians 1:17, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Notice that phrase there, "by Him all things consist." That is, He holds it all together. And how we thank God for that. He holds our lives together, lest we would fall apart. He holds this universe together, lest it would disintegrate. He is a God of order. Creator God of the universe is a God that holds all things together. Not only does He have strength to hold these things together, but notice He's the source of life for us tonight. He's our sustainer, but He is the source of life. We see that in the Scriptures here in verse number 5, the Bible says, "The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land." He is the one who created the world where we live tonight. Psalm 100 in verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Colossians 1:16. "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." So God says, "I've got an announcement for you. I want you to come and worship and come and give thanks, because we come into His presence and we come to give thanks to the one that has given us salvation and to the one that is sovereign in the affairs of our life." And how we praise God tonight, that we have a week like this where we can specifically think and thank Him. But notice secondly tonight, the adoration of the people of God. We want to see that God is calling us this night to adore Him, not only for what He has done, but also for who He is. Verse number 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice." Now notice a few quick things that are mentioned in these verses. First, notice the phrase in verse 7, "He is our God." He is our God. There are many tonight who do not know Him as their God. They know about the gods. In India, there are literally thousands of gods. They know about the gods. In other countries, they know about false gods, perhaps. But tonight, we adore Him because He is the living and true God. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness." Now, tonight in this room, there are those with afflictions, and there are those who have recently had hours cut, or who have faced unemployment, others who have received difficult news. And the fact is, tonight we gather here before our Maker, our Creator, and our Sustainer. And we say, "Lord, we come to You with a heart of thanksgiving still, because You are our God, and we need You to uphold us with Your right hand." Isaiah 41:13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, I will help thee." Would you read that verse with me, please? Verse number 13, Isaiah 41:13. Let's read it together. "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, What a blessing tonight that we have that kind of a God. Sometimes you may feel distant from the Lord during difficult times. And when those difficult times, it's not as easy to say thank you to the Lord for the blessings that we really do have, even in the difficult times. Sometimes during the trials, sometimes when things are not going as well, our tendency is to allow the devil to create a wedge between us and God. But I want you to know that even then, He is our Sustainer God. He wants to uphold us. The Bible says in Romans 8:31, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." We adore Him tonight because He is a God who comes near to us. He is a God who is our support, our strength, and our sustainer. Notice, though, not only is He our God, but notice in verse 7 it says, "We are His people. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture." We literally are the sheep that He counts. We are the sheep that pass under Him coming into the fold. How many of you are thankful tonight that God knows you? He knows your name. He knows your address. He knows you. It's not simply awesome to say He is our God. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, but that's not all, you see. Not only is He our God, He knows us. It's not just that we know about Him. He knows about us. He knows us intimately. And the Bible says here in this verse that we are the people of His pasture. How we thank the Lord for that. I get out on the farm sometimes in Colorado, and over the years our family's had different animals, horses, sometimes a few cows, and lots of different hound dogs, they love it. When my granddad or my uncle would come by, and they love it when it's time to be fed, and they know who their master is. But he knows who they are. He knows their names. He knows what they like and dislike. And the fact of the matter is tonight that much more intimate, much greater in love, as I consider our God, I consider the fact not only that I know Him through creation, through His Word, but He knows every need in my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me and maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And how we thank God for that tonight, that He is my shepherd. The Bible says in John 10 and 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. How many of you are thankful tonight for the fact that God says about you, I know them. I know them. And that's the relationship we have. That's why we adore Him. I remember years ago as a teenage boy going down to the most southern island of South Korea called Jeju Island. And I was with another missionary, my brother, and we were on 10-speed bikes right around the island and going out with spear fishing at night and trying to find our meals and so forth and just having a good time, taking a few days off and learning about the culture. We got to the very southernmost part of that island and we saw a little sign that led up to some type of a pagoda building at the top of a hill, and we said, let's go up and see what's up there. And we got up there and we found a Buddhist temple. And as we went inside the Buddhist temple, we had heard for many hours prior to our arrival chanting, and we had heard the banging of a gourd, and we saw the Buddhist monks as they stood there hour after hour praying to that stone god, hour after hour chanting to that stone god. And then at the foot of the stone god, there were probably 500 little Buddha statues. And we later learned that those little statues had been purchased by the Korean people and placed there, and the monks told them that they would pray for their family if they would purchase a little Buddha and place it at the foot of the big Buddha. And so for hours and hours, the monks prayed and beat the gourd and cried out to a stone god. But the Bible says about idolatry, eyes have they, but they cannot see. Ears have they, but they cannot hear. I'm so thankful tonight that I have a God who sees and hears and loves and understands. And the Bible says He feels and He can be touched with the feeling of my infirmities. Listen, don't let the trials get you to feeling like God isn't there. He was there all the time, waiting for you all the time. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for ye are as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. The announcement to God's people, come, let us worship and bow down before the Lord, our God, our Maker. The adoration that is due Him is because He is a personal God who wants to meet with us, who knows us, and who cares about us. Notice finally tonight, the admonition to God's people. And don't lose this now. There is an admonition that is given, because when there are special privileges given to us in life, sometimes we tend down the road to take them for granted. Sometimes a husband who's madly in love with his young bride, 10, 12, 20 years later, could take her for granted. Sometimes a young bride who's so impressed with her strong and handsome husband could down the road take him for granted. Sometimes it may be a job that we were so thankful for when we first got it, and then down the road we complain about it, we take it for granted. It just seems that in life, God gives us special blessings, and then down the road, we're not as thankful for those special blessings as we once were. Could it be that that scenario could be played out with respect to our Christian life? Could it be that some Christians take for granted simple things like being able to enter into the Holy of Holies and pray to the Lord Jesus Christ? Could it be that the great privilege of knowing God and being known of God is something that we would kind of just take for granted? And because of that tendency, at the end of this chapter, our psalm, there is an admonition that we need to hear very quickly before we're done. Notice in verse 7 again, it says, "Today, if ye will hear his voice." Would you read that part with me, please? Today, if ye will hear his voice, verse 8, "Harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Notice that phrase, verse 8, "Harden not your heart." We see, first of all, in this admonition, a warning against faithlessness. A warning against faithlessness. Now, many of you know the day of the provocation speaks about the time when the children of Israel had opportunity to go right into the promised land. They came to a place called Kadesh Barnea. They had the opportunity to cross over and to claim the promises of God, but instead they hardened their hearts, and instead they listened to an evil report. They began to doubt and question, and because of their doubting and questioning, their heart became hardened, and because of hardened hearts and faithless hearts, they never saw, the majority of them, the great blessings of God. The admonition is given very clearly then that we must beware of a hardened heart. I believe America, like Israel of old, has come to the place where hearts are hard towards Jesus Christ, where hearts are hard toward God Almighty. And because of that, many times our blessings as a nation are missed because we are not inviting God's power and blessing. We are repelling God's power and blessing because our hearts have become hard. Some of you are aware that Thanksgiving in many regards was begun by the pilgrims and those early settlers in America who came here, by the way, for religious freedom. And like our Baptist forefathers, they did not believe in a state-run church. And so they came and by faith founded this great land. In 1863, President Lincoln made a proclamation of a day of fasting and prayer and thanksgiving. And he did not have in his mind a day of thanksgiving to all the gods. America has not historically been a pluralist nation. In 1863, when Lincoln said, "Let's give thanks to God," he did not mean the God of the Hindu or the God of the Muslim or the God of the polytheist of whatever stripe, but he meant the God of this book that he put his hand on when he became the President of the United States. And he made a proclamation that America should take a day to give thanks. And we thank God for that. I thank God for our Australian friends that are here tonight. What a great country Australia is. And some good things happening in the form of spiritual revival. We tease with them about the history of their land being a little bit different in the origin. And our brother from New Zealand tonight, Brother Montano's here from Mexico. Brother Luis, would you and Maggie stand? Our missionaries to Hermosillo, Mexico, doing a great job down there. Let's welcome them to our services tonight. I don't think it's a stretch to say that America's freedom is not only great for Americans, but it has a tremendous ripple effect on other nations like Australia and Mexico. Whether known, appreciated or not, there's a great need for America to stay strong tonight. And that strength really begins at the heart of the matter with our nation's spiritual strength and our nation's willingness to acknowledge our need for the Creator God of this book right here. That's why Abraham Lincoln said in 1863, these words, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for the clemency and forgiveness of God. That was not the Baptist preacher preaching a sermon last Sunday of Thanksgiving. That was the President of the United States in 1863. And he essentially was saying, we dare not as a nation harden our hearts as in the day of the provocation. But we need to take a day to say, God, every good thing that's happened in this nation has come from you. And we acknowledge that. And we thank you for that. And so we see there was this admonishment against faithlessness, against giving God his honor. Notice there was also a warning against thanklessness. The warning against thanklessness. Notice in verse 10, the Bible says, 40 long years was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. By the way, the heart of the problem is always a problem of the heart. And God sees the heart. Man sees the outward, but God sees the heart. And in this passage, the warning against thanklessness was the warning concerning 40 years of wandering and forgetting the fact that God sustained them with manna and God sustained them with light. God gave them water. God provided clothing. God provided shoes that did not wear out. Miracle after miracle after miracle. And yet instead of being thankful, what did the children of Israel do? They complained. And they were unthankful. They in today's vernacular, would have picketed, no doubt, and striked, gone on strike, and they would have done everything possible to demand their rights, and they would have said, take us back to Egypt, where it was so much better back in Egypt. And instead of thanking God, they were admonished, and they were warned against their thanklessness. 1 Corinthians 10:5 says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. In other words, God said, why did I give you something called the Old Testament? Why did I give you all of the accounting in the book of Numbers and in the book of Exodus? And why did I record all of this for you? He says, so that you would not be as foolish as they were. So that you would learn and hear the admonishment not to grow faithless, not to grow unthankful. You know, 60 years ago in America, the key word was duty. Today, the key word is rights. And I believe we need to get back to duty and thankfulness again in this nation. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 as we close tonight. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. The Bible says here, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. Notice the next word, unthankful. Unthankful. I heard about a little boy that was asked to pray for dinner. Before he prayed, he kind of peeked around and he looked at the meal, and it wasn't his favorite. Some of it looked burnt. He said, Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I'll thank you and eat it anyways. You know, a lot of times that's our attitude. We don't like the looks of it. We're not really impressed with it. But you know, the fact is that we ought to be thankful for every blessing of God. And I want to encourage you today to enter into this week, not with faithlessness or thankfulness, unthankfulness, but with a thankful spirit. 2 Corinthians 9:15 is in your notes, and it says this, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's say that together. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God has given us the gift of salvation. I got to tell you something, folks. If I understand this correctly, if you have that gift of salvation and the turkey burns, you're still okay. You have the gift of salvation and, you know, some things don't go exactly right these next few days, you're still mightily blessed. But let me ask you tonight, there may be someone here that doesn't have the gift of salvation. Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. When he thought about Jesus dying on the cross for his sin, shedding his blood for him personally, when he thought about Jesus taking upon him the sins of the entire world on that cross, suffering the pain of the cross, and then saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, and then giving up the ghost. When he thought about that, all he could say was, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I think that's another way of saying we don't have enough pages, we don't have enough time to say it all. It's simply unspeakable. And tonight, if you do not have that gift, if you do not have Jesus in your heart, then it really is difficult to have a gratitude attitude all of the time. Because the foundation for gratitude is the fact that your sins are forgiven and that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. And if you don't have that knowledge tonight, then I want to encourage you in a few moments to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and have in your heart the gratitude attitude that comes from being a born-again Christian, knowing that your sins are forgiven and knowing that heaven is your home. And what a tremendous blessing that would be for you tonight to receive Christ as Savior. And if you are saved tonight, let me admonish you from this passage. Don't let the devil harden your heart. Don't let the trial you're going through, the destitution you may face, the difficulty you may face, don't let that harden your heart to the point that you begin to wander in the wilderness of this world. But have a tenderness toward God tonight and a thankfulness toward God and break up that fallow ground and cultivate gratitude this week. And I guarantee if you'll spend some time in gratitude, your spirit is going to be tremendously affected. Your attitude will be changed because of the gratitude in your heart. Once again, I want to thank you for joining with us for today's message. Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.